Well, coming up on today's show, Hyundai officially delivers the first Kona Electrics to Norway. There's a mega Audi e-tron regen test and some very clever stuff they're doing with that. And Nikola raises $100 million in August alone. But first of all, good morning, good afternoon and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Hello and welcome to the Thursday, the 9th of August edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. Hello to any new fans of the podcast who've joined me over the last 24 hours. I can see the downloads have spiked with great interest in the Tesla show that we did yesterday, the special edition. It was only about the big news of going private. We don't normally do that, by the way. We cover the whole EV market. If you are interested in other things, thank you for bearing with me yesterday when we went only Tesla news. Back to normal service being resumed today. We'll start with a couple of stories that I had lined up yesterday before Elon started tweeting. And the first is this. Land Rover have been talking about the new Range Rover Sport. The Range Rover Sport P400e plug-in hybrid. It's got a claim of 31 miles of EV-only range, but the system by default is going to act like a parallel hybrid where the petrol engine and electric motor constantly work together, a bit like a Toyota Prius or Hyundai Ioniq hybrids. Writes Jack Groves for Car Magazine in the UK, the Range Rover Sport P400e's instrument dials have been tweaked to better represent the hybrid powertrain. So the regular rev counter, for instance, is replaced by an energy meter that displays when the car is using regen braking and when coasting or braking and eco and power areas for accelerating. Well, there's also a menu called My EV, and no, it's nothing to do with the website where you can buy, sell and learn about electric cars in the US called myev.com. I saw a few people that I follow, by the way, people like ZapMap. I follow on Twitter here in the UK. They're a charging map app, and they were talking about and posting pictures of the Range Rovers that they were test driving. So I think there's been a big press day a couple of days ago where people actually got to try these, probably all around the world actually, to fully coordinate it. Well, by default in the Range Rover plug-in, the hybrid system uses a mix of engine and motor power to maximise the efficiency, but thanks to the battery, and we all like to measure the battery size of EVs, this one's a 13.1 kilowatt hour battery. You can do your separate EV mode only. That allows the Range Rover P400e to drive those 31 miles on pure electric. Drivers also have the option to only use the engine, so you can save your battery for going into cities where there's stop and go traffic, or certain cities that insist on your car being EV only capable to avoid those extra fees. On a 220 volt charger, for instance, that's about 2 hours and 45 to fully charge the small battery. According to Colin Woodard at Automobile Mag, the P400e is a mid-range model. The price for that will start at $79,295. I'll put a link to the CarMag and AutoMag website links in the show notes if you want to have a full read of those articles for yourself. Well, during a recent BMW's normally top secret electric powertrain development centre in Munich, Car and Driver had the chance to have a close look at the company's next-gen e-power unit, known internally as HEAT. Yes, it's heat, according to Mike Duff for Car and Driver. While the company's previous electrical power drivetrains have had their components spread around the cars that they're fitted to, the heat unit unites the motor, a single-speed gearbox, and the power electronics necessary to run them in a single casing, creating an entirely modular unit that can be installed into a car in the same space as an internal combustion engine. So BMW going down that route of being able to swap out drivetrains and have exactly the same body, which is something that we heard Mercedes talking about, for instance, on the EQC test drive with Johnny Smith on the Fully Charged video channel. Well, what's interesting from this is that the motor is BMW's own design. They're putting their own R&D euros behind this and not buying something off the shelf like some other car makers are doing. Well, BMW still predicts an ultimate shift to solid-state batteries. Many people are, actually, and is working with the Colorado-based Solid Power to that end. However, BMW said lithium-ion technology continues to develop at such a sufficient pace that the transition to what is at the moment a more temperamental and heat-sensitive solid-state battery cell probably won't be made before 2026. Much more development to do on solid state. In the meantime, the company projects that lithium iron will see a 145% improvement from today on energy density alone, and an 85% reduction in manufacturing cost per kilowatt hour. We know it's come down from about $1,000 per kilowatt hour, down to, we heard most recently from Tesla, $100 at cell level, not pack level, but that's coming down as well. Well, Fred Lambert at Electric says the first boatload of Hyundai Kona Electrics has arrived in Norway to be the first vehicles to be delivered to customers. We know those vehicles are in the country already for the press trips that we've seen and the videos outside of South Korea. They're the first ones to make their way into the hands of customers with 20,000 reservations there. That's not expressions of interest. I thought there was when I first saw this tweeted. I was like, okay, so that's people that have put their name down. No, that's 20,000 reservations, as far as I know. So the people are parting with cash for this. The first 100 cars arrived at Drummond Harbour this week, and Electric has pics of them coming off of the boats in all of their various colours. This is the first of hundreds of cars coming in on other boats as well. The next one coming in is mid-August. That's about as specific as they will say. Well, supply is still massively restricted. Production numbers being talked about in the hundreds and maybe the thousands rather than the tens of thousands. I mean, they're talking about orders being in the tens of thousands, but not quite for the deliveries yet. From what I know, and this isn't gospel, by the way, if you work for Hyundai UK press office, get in touch and let me know whether I'm right or wrong. But from what I know, there are two people that work for the click to buy system. So click to buy is how Hyundai are selling the Kona here in the UK. They're kind of bypassing the dealer network and then kind of had to involve the dealer network a little bit when they announced click to buy, because it was, some people had gone to their dealers and put deposits down with the dealers, assuming that, well, actually, they'll, you know, they'll include us in the whole thing. So there's a little bit of to-ing and fro-ing. But the click-to-buy website, really easy to use. I've configured. I haven't clicked on buy yet, but I've got the spec that I want. And I've got a seven, it might have changed in the last 2 days, but the last time I looked, 7 weeks waiting time. So how many people work on click-to-buy? As far as I know, two people do that, and they process between 40 and 60 orders per year. Things like processing the buyers into the system, inputting the data into the OLEV portal for the plug-in car grant, that alone is really time-consuming. And from what I can gather, there's been around 600 orders for the Hyundai Kona here in the UK alone. Okay, that's less than Norway, but that's still 600 orders for a team that aren't used to dealing with such huge numbers. Again, Hyundai, if you're listening, am I right or am I wrong? That's the information that I can gather from certain sources. Despite my best efforts to get a breakdown of how many people have been ordering the standard battery compared to the long-range battery, I haven't been able to suss that out. But off to a fantastic start in the UK and off to an incredible start in Norway. The boat's coming in to the UK. I think there's a boat arriving today. That's the 9th of August. I think it docks today on the 9th of August, carrying the first boatload of Hyundai Konas for the UK. And the next one should be docking on the 27th of August. And I certainly can't tell you how I know that. Right, moving on to the Audi e-tron, the Pikes Peak regen test. And Slash Gear have written a long old article. You know how sometimes you just grab your mobile phone and you read a quick news article? Yep, this isn't one of those. This is crack open your computer, sit down with a tea or coffee, and sit down and read this article and really soak it up, because Slash Gear have got a long, long article to get your head around. They were invited by Audi to ride in one of the Audi e-tron test mules. And I talked about this a couple of days ago. Inside EVs were sent some pictures by one of their readers of the Audi e-trons in Colorado. And in the background of the picture, you can see Pikes Peak. And I wonder whether those pictures that were sent to Inside EVs were whilst they were doing these regen tests down Pikes Peak. Well, Slash Gear say that bathed in the golden hour light of the sunshine, we start to learn about our morning at Pikes Peak. The prototypes are some of the first vehicles to roll off the pre-assembly line in Bratislava. Audi didn't fly us all the way out to Colorado to just admire the e-tron. We would be observers in a descent that would see us drop 6,200 feet down Pikes Peak. That's according to Mike Jurgens. He says that while the car overall is rated for 250 miles on a full charge, Audi's recuperation technology contributes 30% of that figure. 30% of that 250-mile range is on the regen. Our 19-mile downhill drive promises to feed so much energy back into the battery, it could cover close to the same distance again. Well, that reminds me of the trip that Nissan did when the media went to Tenerife and they drove up Mount Teide and then regened down it again. There was a bit of a competition between some of the journalists and vloggers as well to see who could do the best. Well done to, it was Bjorn won that one, wasn't it? Bjorn Nyland. Check out those videos online on those big video channels to see if you're interested in what I'm talking about. It's a long article from Slash Gear, well worth reading. They say that Audi's system, their regen system, and its decision to give the driver the option of how much energy recuperation system is intervening in your drive is a first. And that's kind of surprising because we know that all regen systems, nearly all regen systems, give you the option of how much the car is regenning. So when Slash Gear say that Audi's the first to give you the option of how much it intervenes, I think they're talking about something more than just flappy paddles or choosing a regen amount. The goal is to maximise the possible outputs from the two motors. So the Audi e-tron Quattro has two motors without resorting to the hydraulic brakes whenever possible. They typically slow the e-tron aggressively, but at the cost of efficiency if you hit the brakes. As a useful side effect, though, when you're descending something like Pike's Peak, it helps keep the brakes cooler because you're using regen from the motors. Well, Audi's thermal management system is comprised of four circuits that can be connected as required, heating and cooling not only the interior and the battery, but making sure the electric motors, including their rotors, are also kept cool together with all of the power electronics and the charger itself. Go and have a read of the Slash Gear article. It gets super deep into how the regen system works, all the way from coasting to the maximum regen level that uses the radar to read the road ahead of you. And even when you hit the brakes in the Audi e-tron Quattro, the computer, the ECU, will make a decision on whether to brake the car, even if you're hitting the brakes, whether to use the hydraulic friction brakes, or whether it thinks, looking at the road ahead, it is going to be able to slow you enough that you want using just regens. There's a lot of intervention from the system, but that's why Audi are saying of the 250 miles range they're giving the car, 30% of it is from this kind of top level, god level regen system that they have developed, and they seem to be super proud of, because that was the whole point of sending journalists up Pike's Peak. Well, Daimler is in talks with a unit of the Chinese partner that they have, BAIC Group, to form a joint venture for the production of pure EV smart cars. The smart cars will be built in China, according to Bloomberg's reporting today, and that is according to CGTN. The talks are being held with the Beijing Electric Vehicle Company, or BEJEV, in which Daimler took a stake of just under 4%, actually, earlier in 2018, citing people with direct knowledge of the matter. Not clear how big a stake Daimler would want to own in the joint venture, Bloomberg said. Daimler in March said that the stake in BJEV underlined its commitment to the further development of electric mobility. The little smart cars are an interesting experiment in my mind at the moment. They seem to be trying different things with them in different markets, branding them now rather than smart, but to be branding them as the kind of Mercedes EQ branding, which they're using for all of their EVs. So I'm not sure they make a huge ton of money out of them. They might even be loss making, you never know, because they are clearly not sold in scale, but they are trying, they're finding their way with it. And that's a smart way to work, right? Because they want to just suss out different markets and suss out different ways to make these cars and see if there's an appetite for these super small cars. Well, the Nikola CEO is Trevor Milton, and today he announced that he anticipates the 200 million C round of funding is going to be oversubscribed, with more than $100 million already raised and funded this month in August alone. Well, the Nikola Motor Company is pioneering hydrogen electric renewable technology, the zero emission trucks that Nikola make, which are going to be able to travel somewhere between 500 and 1200 miles and be refilled within 20 minutes. Will be part of fleets from 2020 onwards, in full production by 2021. Well, to date, the company's nearly $11 billion in pre-order reservations. Wow! By 2028, Nikola's planning on having more than 700 hydrogen stations across the USA and Canada. They want to do what Tesla did with the supercharging network, but with hydrogen stations for their trucks. The first 14 stations, they say, will be up and running by 2021. A full link to that news in the show notes. Well, the world's most advanced electric taxis have started appearing on the streets of Edinburgh. The first vehicle was also handed over to David McMillan, who's been an Edinburgh cabbie of the last 7 years. He's made the jump to electric taxis, and not only to help the cab drivers cut emissions, but also cut his fuel bills as well. He estimates saving around £460 here in the UK per month from making the switch, as well as lower running costs. Drivers of the new Black Cab electric taxis, The people of Edinburgh who will be riding in the back of them will find them smoother and cleaner, have onboard Wi-Fi, mobile phone and laptop chargers as well. And although they were designed to be the infamous London black cabs, I think you're going to see more and more of these in big cities all around the world. We heard a couple of weeks ago as well that LEVC, the Geely-owned company that make them here in the UK, in Coventry, went to Germany to announce the launch of them there. And I would love to see some of these iconic cities that have cabs. Obviously, you've got the yellow cabs in New York and places like that. And I'm sure that where you're listening around the world, you've got your own version of famous cabs, colours, makes, that kind of thing. I'd love to see so many of them to be these electric cabs that are being made here in the UK come to where you're listening. Well, let's talk about NIO and counting the Chinese technology giants Tencent and Baidu and others amongst its investors. NIO first threw down the gauntlet to Tesla in December when they launched the first production model, the ES8. According to the South China Morning Post, NIO is going to file documents next month in September as it prepares for their IPO on the New York Stock Exchange towards the end of this year or early 2019. That is the home turf of Tesla, according to Chinese media reports. And when they started to think about an IPO and becoming a public company, it's fair to say they thought they would be taking on Tesla at being a big publicly traded electric car company and not going up against a private company. Well, they've been plagued by the same lagging production capacity as Tesla. The company's vowed to deliver the first 10,000 cars by the end of the year, according to William Lee Bin, the founder and chairman of NIO. Well, we've mentioned Tesla. I don't want to go too big on them today because it was a whole episode yesterday, but a quick mention about their board. Their six-member board confirmed shortly after Elon Musk had tweeted, and then very quickly after that released a letter to the staff. I'm still amazed. I've been reading things, by the way, in the last 24 hours. Still, people who are financial, who appear to bill themselves as financial experts, and they're still speculating, did Elon wake up yesterday morning, have enough of being a public company, and tweet in haste? Really? And so shortly after that, he published a letter, which was clearly taken a long time to write and wasn't. I mean, we need to just apply a little bit of critical thinking. He then published a letter to all staff, which was very carefully crafted and worded and would have been through a billion layers of legal and PR. So, no, he didn't just wake up and grab his phone and think, you know what, I'll tweet this about going private. Well, then the board stepped in with this statement, and I quote, "Last week, Elon opened discussions with the board about taking the company private. This included discussions of how being private could better serve Tesla's long-term interests, and also addressed the funding for this to occur. The board has met several times over the last week and is taking the appropriate next steps to evaluate," end quote. So even when the board are saying we've been talking about it for a week, there are still financial experts, I'm doing speech quotes right now, experts that are happy to be a talking head on financial channels or financial news segments, still speculating. I just blown away. It just doesn't even make any kind of common sense. They're thinking that this was a rash move by Elon Musk. Well, since the start of July, higher taxed conventionally powered cars in Sweden, diesels and petrol cars in particular, having a really hard time wooing the average Swedish new car buyer, according to the Eagle AID newsletter. Well, one consequence of these steps, says Eagle, is that the steep July the 1st vehicle tax hikes, which have been in place five, six weeks, allied to a maximum possible government grant for the qualifying electric vehicles, Sweden's July sales of plug-ins soared, by 107%. Wow. For July, expressed in market share terms, plugins captured 18.8% compared to 4.6% year-on-year last July. So Sweden in July saw an explosion of plug-in and hybrid cars, well, plug-in hybrids and pure electrics, because regularly powered cars are now being taxed a lot more. Highly recommend you follow Matthias Schmidt, by the way, for not only all that fascinating data from Eagle AID, the stuff that is publicly released in that market intelligence report that they do. Well, a couple of tweets that I want to get to, by the way. Firstly is Roland van der Put. He's the head of network technology at FastNed. He says this, and I quote, "We are seeing an increasing number of charge sessions from new EVs that will be on the market soon. Exciting! First to come is the Hyundai Kona that can charge up to 72 kilowatts on our 175 kilowatt chargers and up to 47 kilowatts on other chargers. See the charge curve for more details." And he's put a couple of charge curve pictures on there. So FastNed are making these super high-powered 175 kilowatt chargers. You can download the app, I think, wherever you are in the world. Because certainly here in the UK, I've got the FastNed app on my phone, even though it's of very little use to me here looking at the map of the UK. Funnily enough, not too many. But if I go to the Netherlands and look around places like Rotterdam and The Hague, there's 12 of those 175 kilowatt chargers. So it's fascinating that they're releasing a little bit of the data that they've got on that. Oh, there's one also, I think, near on the way to Frankfurt, by the way, actually in Limburg. That's the only other one that I can see on the map. So yes, the Hyundai Kona, there's been some confusion about this, by the way. If you haven't downloaded any, if you're new to the podcast, you're more than welcome to download any of the shows in the archive, and they're all for free, by the way. A few weeks ago, we were talking about the Hyundai Kona, because they issue their charging specs online in the write-ups and all those kind of things. They talk about the charge speed when connected to a 100 kilowatt charger. And there was, if you search, for instance, online, do a Google search for Hyundai Kona 100 kilowatt, there are so many websites out there, like car websites, EV websites. They have interpreted that in their writing, and they have said the Hyundai Kona has 100 kilowatt charge speeds. And then think about other people that have read those articles and then just copy that out verbatim without doing any of their own research. There is now this, almost this myth out there. I don't know where it started, but no one seems to be correcting it. The Hyundai Kona can charge at 100 kilowatts and it absolutely can't. I don't want to get too super geek on you here, but the Hyundai Kona uses an LG Chem pack that has a pack voltage of 355.2 volts. And the engineers at Hyundai have previously said publicly that it will charge with a maximum current of 200 amps. Of course, they're using the CCS combo chargers, so you're going to max out at 200 amps anyway, even on the charging connector. And if you do that calculation, it works out at about 71 point something kilowatts, or 72 kilowatt hour charging, that if anybody had bothered to do the maths, they could have worked that out without writing articles saying that the Hyundai Kona charges at 100 kilowatts. I think I've been guilty of reading those articles out before without thinking about it myself. So an enormous hypocrite. Next, I want to read out a tweet from the Model 3 VINs account, at Model 3 VINs. There's been about 2,000 more Model 3 VINs have been registered. All of them estimated to be dual motor. The highest model, the highest VIN registered, says this tweet, is 94,894. Wowzers. Well, thank you very much to new patrons over the last 24 hours as well. Over the weekend, a couple of days ago, I put this podcast on Patreon because people were saying, I would love to support you. But thank you so much for everybody that has got involved on Patreon and really helped out with the hosting and the streaming costs of this. As you know, as something becomes more popular, as more people like it, then the costs go up on everything, which I've been footing myself, and that's fine. I'll carry on. I would have carried on doing it, but thank you so much for everybody that has chipped in. New patrons in the last 24 hours. Paul Conway has joined as a producer of the show. Paul, thank you so much. Hi to Chris Benson, who's joined up as an executive producer of the show. So you get that extra content on a Saturday, as well as we go to a deep dive into this week's EV stories. And hi to Asen, Ivanov. Thank you very much to you three for jumping onto Patreon. And there is absolutely no obligation for anybody to think about the Patreon. The Patreon page is patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. This show will always be free. You will simply be helping if it's something that you decide you might want to have a little look at. All of the previous shows are free. There's 205 of them on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Yeah, do you use Spotify for music? You know, they have podcasts on there. You can find us on Spotify as well. The audio goes on YouTube, TuneIn, Stitcher, and the website blog itself, evnewsdaily.com. If you subscribe, and why wouldn't you? Because we all love free stuff. You get them first and free and automatically. In return, if you don't want to get involved and jump on the Patreon, a review would mean so much. A little star rating, a few words, sharing it with your friends, family, people who you think might be interested in EVs, people who are EV curious, please share the podcast, and it would just help me out so much. Come and say hi on the socials by searching EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day, and I'll catch you tomorrow.